You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We have a massive installment of the Williams and Bloom Sunday Night Podcast ready for you all tonight. I was texting with Jared Stansberry earlier about this being perhaps the busiest week we've ever had at Cyclone Fanatic with all the basketball games, three women's games, two men's games, and perhaps the biggest football game in the history of Iowa State football. Oh, and National Signing Day for football. Everything is coming up. Bloom and I will get you set for everything. Before we do that, we want to thank some of our great sponsors. First, I want you guys to go to isuvip.com. That's isuvip.com, where you can win a historic Iowa State experience. It's for championship weekend with Community Choice and the Des Moines Airport. All you have to do is go to isuvip.com, sign up for their drawing. They're giving away $1,000 cash. Four tickets to the big game on Saturday in Dallas. And also, they're giving away some swag. I heard an autographed Matt Campbell football is going to be involved as that as well. Tuesday, December 15th at noon is when the winner will be drawn. That's Tuesday coming up at noon. Go to isuvip.com. I want to thank the presenting sponsor of the Williams and Bloom Sunday Night Podcast. That is MechDyne of the MechDyne Corporation. They have been with us for a long time now here at Cyclone Fanatic, and we could not appreciate their sponsorship of the Williams and Bloom Sunday Night Podcast more. Phenomenal people up there at MechDyne, enabling discovery. Go to MechDyne.com, where you can go to their careers page. They have listings for all sorts of different careers. If you're in customer service, engineering, IT services, marketing, you name it, they got it. A couple of guys who are Iowa Staters, they created MechDyne and MechDyne.com, and look at them now. It's a worldwide company, and they are phenomenal people. I always tell people, when I get out of the sports thing, you guys are going to kick me out at some point. My dream is to go and work at MechDyne. What a phenomenal company. I have a phenomenal co-host, Brent Bloom. We'll bring him on right after this.
Are you ready? Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Yes. If this doesn't get you ready for championship week, I don't know what does.
It hasn't failed us yet.
Hold on. Let's just turn it up. Suck it, Tom Herman. You know my dream? Now that he's not getting fired, is to get Herman on the podcast at some point this offseason. Do you think he will? I don't know if he will anymore.
I don't know if word got back to him, he would really jump on that.
I don't know if he'd take it too kindly just because of all the hairiness of his situation. But
I think, honestly,
we had a really good relationship for a really long time, and things have kind of fallen off.
I'm glad.
I wonder why.
I'm glad. Actually, I think it was the right move for them to keep him.
I absolutely do.
And I think it's more entertaining for the Big 12 if he's around. So I was actually okay with that.
I would be surprised. I mean, nothing would surprise me, I guess. But, like, I think often what these programs do that are big bureaucratic programs like that, I think Michigan's similar. I wouldn't fire Harbaugh if I were them. They get so impatient because there's so many chiefs at the top of the food chain who think that they're more powerful than they actually are, and they start chirping with their checkbooks, and there's just so much. It becomes
an ego thing.
Yeah, I also think, too, it's like, why all these SEC programs back in the day, they're constantly turning over? Well, it's because they're trying to beat Bama. I had a guy I had a guy reach out to me today and be like, yeah, Campbell, I heard he's a actual candidate for the Auburn job. But why in the hell would Matt Campbell go to Auburn? That's maybe the dumbest. Gus Malzahn's a good coach, and he just got run off today. Why would anybody go? Oh, what? So what's your goal every year? You have to beat Nick Saban. Okay, that seems genius, right? Like, to me, I think longevity's really important, and we said this, if Texas wasn't going to get Urban Meyer, we both thought that they were better off sticking with Tom.
Yep, and I think, you know, we'll see. They still have, I mean, they were impressive in person from just a talent standpoint.
Their defense was getting better.
It was getting better. Ash is a good coach. Does a nice job. So they'll be a threat next year. I mean, quarterback's the question there. So I've got a little theory.
Okay.
Our old buddy Charlie Brewer decided to
grad
transfer. He's from
Austin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it just seems like he would fit in.
He would
well
be perfect
for what now.
Maybe
he's
basically
Sam Ellinger light. Who knows if he gets along with Tom? I don't know.
But he's also probably a little more, you know what you're going to get.
Sure. So that would not surprise me.
Ellinger is a little more of a wild card, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There's a little more Purdy in Ellinger than.
Sure.
Than Brewer.
Yeah. More upside for sure in Ellinger. But
Yeah.
Brewer is a solid player. So anyway, I think that's something to keep an eye on where Brewer ends up. Maybe goes to an SEC school and experiences something different. I don't, who knows?
Yeah.
That's the thing, Chris. This offseason is going to be nutty.
I was told by
people going all over the place.
I was told by a Division I head coach, and it's not Matt Campbell, that he believes the next like 3 years are going to be just, as far as transfers go, off the charts. Because Iowa State's going to sign like 22 kids or whatever the number is. None of them have visited.
Right.
Officially.
So you get there.
Now,
like,
some of those guys, you know, have been on junior days and stuff like that.
Sure. There's actually a decent number of Iowa kids in this class.
Yeah. And did you listen with my interview with Pollard
yes.
last week?
Yes.
I thought we had a pretty interesting talk about like Zoom and how it's changed recruiting.
Completely.
I mean, getting on campus is going to be more important to some kids than others, but I almost think that you can have a better relationship with your coaches now.
Well, and
they're utilizing this stuff.
We were talking earlier today. You told a story about getting talking to the staff when they were recruiting Trevor Downing.
Yeah.
About a restaurant to eat at in Shenandoah.
Yeah.
Like, that seems pretty pointless. I mean, it was cool that they would fly down to watch a basketball game.
The Depot Deli.
That Trevor Downing played in for Preston down in Shenandoah. But still, it's like, is this really the most cost-effective way?
They hadn't been in Ames long, and they're like, Williams, you used to live down here, right? And I'm like, yeah. Where can we eat? Okay. Well, we'll get you some fried chicken, baby.
Depot Deli.
They enjoyed their time.
And Trevor Downing, it worked.
And yes, it did. I can't wait to get him back on the football field. It will not happen this Saturday against Oklahoma, but nonetheless, Bloom, it was nice sitting around Saturday and rooting for other teams to lose.
That was a blast. That was just
Tigers.
Pure fun watching that LSU-Florida game. Knowing that, okay, it matters, but it, you know, how much we really don't know. It all depends on if Iowa State wins on Saturday. But to see Florida choke like that, thanks to the guy throwing his shoe, and if your first reaction was not the Austin Powers, who throws a shoe, honestly, then I don't want to know you.
It's funny, I didn't think that until...
You have seen that movie, though, right?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it all. Hold on real quick. We want to give a shout-out to all of our...
Go Tigers! 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 Go Tigers!
Thank you, Ed.
Appreciate that, Coach. Great win for your program in the Swamp, based off of the guy throwing the shoe. Yeah, what a weird... And then my favorite part, I thought of you, of all people... Because the guy who threw the shoe was mad. He didn't think that there should have been a penalty called. And I was thinking, like, man, I can just see Bloom right now being like, yep.
Yeah.
With your hand gesture, you're out of here.
And the official's like, he threw a shoe. That's my favorite part. The referee's like, personal foul.
He threw a shoe 20 yards down the field. Yeah. 15 yards. That's a first down.
Yeah, that was a fun game to watch. But it could matter. We'll see.
Here's the way I'm looking at it.
It actually helps at least if you lose.
Well, my ideal, it's just, that's one team you jump ahead of.
Correct.
I don't know if it gets Iowa State in the playoff.
Yeah.
But it's a team that you jump ahead of. Iowa State was 7 last week. They're going to be 6 this week.
Should be. I mean, I have a theory that Georgia is going to jump Iowa State this week.
Because they pounded
Missouri,
the top 25 team.
However, if Iowa State beats Oklahoma, they jump Georgia then again.
Makes sense.
It's just they're shuffling cards around a little bit to make everybody happy.
Yeah, which they will do. And you'll also watch them like sneak teams into the top 25 that shouldn't be.
Yep.
So that they can get a win over, you know, and it makes their job.
Makes their resume look better.
I did see you were bouncing around on Twitter, and I agree with you. Like, the Ohio State thing, the Florida loss is a great lesson, too. Like, you can't just assume. They were a 24-point favorite and lost that game. Well, when you only have to play 5 games in the regular season.
Exactly.
You know, your Louisiana game may have been canceled or whatever. And this, again, I sound like a broken record, but this is why they should have expanded the playoff. This is why I don't blame Ryan Day and Ohio State. I blame the Big Ten's leadership for putting their programs in this position. But I don't think that that's an SEC or a Big 12 program's fault.
Right.
And or it's an ACC.
It's whatever. Like, yeah, I got a 4.0 this semester, but I only took, you know, 2 classes.
Walking and golf.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, but yeah. You didn't. That doesn't add up. Like, it's not
that's
the same.
Not the same as a chemistry major.
And quite frankly, we all know this. If that is any other school besides Ohio State, Alabama, or Clemson, they're not even in the top 10
mm-hmm.
with their resume. They're not.
No.
Now, because they started out, everyone had this anticipation that Ohio State was going to be a top 4 program this year. They already have that preconceived notion. Okay, they belong there. They didn't have to do anything to earn it, which potentially, okay, maybe that is, they are responsible for that because they have that tradition of having success. And so, but this year, if you're just looking at solely this year, their resume does not belong at all. 5 wins. They haven't been that impressive. I did the similarity. If you look at the last 5 games, Team A and Team B. Team A and Team B are both 5-0. The average margin of victory for Team A was 25 points. For Team B was 22 points. The average strength of schedule for Team A was 59. For Team B was 63. Seems pretty equal. Team A is Iowa State. Team B is Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, that doesn't even factor in the Oklahoma win or the TCU
swap
win.
Swap the scenario and give Iowa State that resume.
Yeah.
Are they in the top 15?
No. Not at all, not even close. Not even close, but it is what it is. We all understand the game we're playing here, and it's probably barking up the wrong...
That Cody tastes good tonight.
It does, but here's the thing. Regardless, okay, sure, the playoff is one thing, but this is a massive week for Iowa State because you beat Oklahoma, you win a Big 12 championship, it's the best season in school history, right there, game over. It might already be that way, but this just puts an exclamation point on it.
This is the best school.
I think
the 8-1, like the, I know it's not acknowledged, but the outright regular season title means something to me. It should.
It should, absolutely. This would just really put the
problem is locally Iowa's winning too. So now you know how it goes. I'm not going to throw any of our media colleagues under the bus, but you know, I'm not dismissing Iowa. Like, they're playing really good football.
They're playing fine.
But my point is, you know the talking points mm-hmm. though, and that's why Iowa State just needs to go out and win.
Right, just win it outright.
Because if not, like if Iowa State falls to the Alamo, and let's say Iowa could sneak into a New Year's Six, me personally, like when Iowa State didn't play Iowa this year, it has nothing to do with them. However, locally, I'm looking at like the how it's going to be portrayed.
Frame.
And I could see the whole deal going, well, even in your best season, like we're still in a better bowl game than you, right? And a lot of media members in the state will feel that way because a lot of them are Hawkeye fans.
Yeah.
Which is fine. We're Iowa State fans. Like we're acknowledging that. But I do think that's a real thing.
Yeah, for sure. And it's interesting. I think these next couple days will be fun to watch. What is the national narrative on Iowa State? You saw a little bit. You saw like Reggie Bush defending Iowa State mm-hmm. yesterday, which was neat to see. But then you've seen some of the old guard.
By the way, he's terrible. Reggie Bush is one of the worst analysts in a prime spot. No,
he likes Iowa State.
That's great. I just think his analysis is awful. It's so surface level. Matt Leinart's terrible, too.
Well, they both like Iowa State.
No, that's great. Yeah. I like those guys. Yeah. I like those guys.
You're just saying, just as pure analyst.
I just think that they are not, like, I'm a Clatt guy. By the way, Robbie Hummel.
Yeah.
Phenomenal job on that game,
just,
I thought, on Friday.
You just like him because he sounds like you doing analysis.
Dude, I probably have 20 people tweet that at me.
I didn't hear it, and then when you tweeted it, I was like, yeah, that actually, Hummel sounds a little bit like
anyways, no, thank you to the, that's the greatest, by the way, I think that USC team, the one that won the Natty.
Yeah.
That might be the best college team I think I've ever seen. Now, that one Miami team is right up there. The Willis McGahee one. I think 2000.
I mean, Bama's run got there. They had some.
But man, that USC. I'll put it this way. Reggie Bush, in my, like, probably, let's say, like 15 years and older, okay, is where I could really, like, pay attention.
Okay.
I think he's the best player I've ever seen.
I thought Cam Newton's 1 year was just dominant.
Now, film and stuff like Bo Jackson, Herschel Walker.
Yeah.
Even Troy would be in that type of category.
Ricky Williams was filthy.
For me, Tommy Frazier was.
Yeah.
Because that's the best football player I've ever seen in my life in college. But I saw him all the time.
That 1 year, Reggie was just electric.
Yeah.
I still remember that.
The Fresno State game. Yep. Yeah. Oh, my God.
It felt like he was playing a different type of game than everybody else. That was great. But, no, I think, you know, where does Iowa State get framed up here in the national conversation? Because you're going to have some people who are pissed because Coastal's not getting any love.
Yeah.
You got some people who are being, you know, pro Ohio State. Others are going to be like, well, Iowa State lost twice. It's coming.
I want Louisiana just to piss pound Coastal.
That would be helpful.
Yeah.
Truthfully. But getting
them winning over App State that night was huge.
I would be curious the makeup of that committee room, and we've talked about it a little bit. There is Big 12 representation in that room. You're also now seeing C-Dub, some pushback from the power brokers in both the ACC and the SEC about Ohio State going, this is ridiculous. What are we doing here? Like, Dan Mullen loses the game for Florida yesterday. His first comment is, well, at least we play all of our games. Like, taking a direct shot at Ohio State.
It's bullshit. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, it is.
And again,
I don't think it's going to matter.
I don't either. And I can't even say, like, I don't know. They may be the second best team. They may be the first. I haven't seen enough.
That's not the point.
No. They could very well go into the playoff and win it. Like, I've seen a 4-seed Ohio State do that before. But the point is, it's so unfreaking even this year, and that's why they needed to expand the playoff. But again, Bill Hancock and all those dinosaurs who make the decisions in this—they're not going to. They don't adapt.
Well, and
I'm sorry.
And money is still a factor.
Yeah.
And Ohio State is
they're putting on a TV program.
Show. It's a TV show.
Yeah.
So I think. And
again, Fox lost $20 million
right.
on not having Ohio State Michigan this year. Do you think Fox was like, oh, yeah, give us Indiana Northwestern in the Big Ten title? You think Fox wasn't in their ear? Hell yes, they were. Sorry, this is right in my wheelhouse
when we combine
politics, TV, and. This is a dream.
I think Iowa State has a legitimate chance to beat Oklahoma and win a Big 12 championship. I'd hate to have some of that shine worn off because they don't make a playoff.
I don't think
it'll get that far, but I can just see how the focus will be. Okay, Iowa State now won. Now let's get here. I don't want it to be a disappointment because this is a historic season and it's just been awesome, and I can't wait. It's going to be fun. You know, you and I are both fortunate to be able to go.
Yeah, I'm taking
Dallas.
A land jet on Thursday.
You got your land jet.
Thursday morning, the land jet's picking me and Stansbury up, and we're heading down there.
Hitching a ride.
And then we're going to watch. I can't wait. Because Stansbury's a douchey Nebraska fan. You know that. Grew up. I don't want to throw him under the bus, but he grew up in Nebraska.
I don't want to throw him under the bus, but he's a douche.
My favorite sports story of 2020 is Nebraska having to go to Rutgers on a Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock for the Champions Week of the Big Ten.
Play the Benny Hill. Nebraska,
oh my God.
The school that fought so hard to have a season.
Isn't that awesome, though, that the Big Ten's like, hey.
Piscataway.
Yeah, what are we thinking about Nebraska right now? Hey,
I got an idea.
I got a great idea. A week before Christmas Eve, we're going to send you guys. Where does Rutgers play?
Piscataway, New Jersey.
Piscataway, New Jersey. For a 3 o'clock kick on a weekday on the Big Ten Network. Suck it, Bill Moose.
Hey, Frost, do you want to find another opponent now?
What would be better for Nebraska, to go to Piscataway or to go play at North Dakota State in the Dome? Would they be an underdog?
To North Dakota State?
Honestly,
North Dakota State's played one game.
Yeah.
Yes.
I actually...
They've got a first-round quarterback.
Yeah, hell yeah, they do.
Trey Lance.
I haven't seen the line for Nebraska or Rutgers, but I just thought it was the greatest story ever.
It's really on 3 o'clock on Friday?
3 o'clock on Friday. Because I texted Stansberry. I'm like, man, we gotta hustle on Friday to get all of our work done so I can
watch you get
drunk and cry as Nebraska loses. They're going to lose that game. Shiano's going to beat them. You mark my word. Shiano will coach in circles around Scott Frost.
Who can they blame then?
Is Scott Frost the biggest fraud in college football? Are we learning this?
I mean, who do they beat?
Because I always had his back. Like, I was always he'll get this thing turned around deal.
They got smoked by a Minnesota team that was just ravaged by COVID.
What about Illinois that just fired Lovie Smith, just went in there and kicked the shit out of him a couple weeks ago?
Thanks for playing, Nebraska. Enjoy your sellout streak.
Does that count?
Probably.
Like, do they keep that, like, since they, in theory, couldn't have
fans?
They
will, because it's the only thing they have to pitch their wagon to these days.
Here's what I'd like folks to do as you get ready for Christmas. We told you about my buddy Ray and Farm Story Meats, farmstorymeats.com. We already completely put... the Van Veen folks at max capacity.
Awesome.
To the point where they were like, hey, Chris.
The chocolate folks.
Could you not mention us again? Because we're getting slammed.
Well, there goes my...
No, you can just...
You still make it. You got... Because I'm trying to get, like, the mother-in-law.
Oh, that's perfect. The Van Veen. Yeah. Well, you know what you should do?
She doesn't listen.
Does she eat meat?
Yeah.
This is what you should do. Our good friend of the program, Sean Jankowski,
yep,
gave a order from Farm Story Meats to a relative for Christmas. You can go in there. I'm on it right now, farmstorymeats.com. You click on the meat shop, and they've got like a holiday box. They've got Ray's favorites, which are it's like a combination of things. You've got bacon. We've got brats, cheddar brats, ribs.
And they
ship them right to your door.
Okay.
So get your Christmas meals this way, and you're supporting a really hyper-local company. A young kid, Ray Schmidt is his name. His family has a farm, and I think it's genius, and I'm praying that Ray lets me buy into his company at some point, because I think it's genius. People love this state. They love supporting local. And this is, he sent me some stuff, like some of his jerky and brats.
Quality.
Oh my, it's the jerky we had at Thanksgiving that I put out on the table.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Farmstorymeats.com.
Could he still turn it around? Would say this, the
21st.
Oh, wow. Okay.
December 21st. And that, it's free if you're close enough. So there you go. Farmstorymeats.com. You're going to go to the store anyways.
Correct.
For Christmas. So why wouldn't you, let's say you're going to make a ham or a chicken or whatever. Why wouldn't you do it this way? They have holiday hams. They're beautiful looking hams. Oh my God, this is a good looking ham. Oh my God. I'm going to buy some spare ribs and get me some baby backs. Going to throw them both on there. That's how daddy's doing Christmas this year.
Check out that cart.
Farmstorymeats.com. Also, you want to look fresh. Well, nobody's really doing Christmas this year, but you still want to look fresh.
I'm going down this week.
I went to Franklin Barbershop like a week and a half ago. I think I might go before Thursday, though.
Yeah, I gotta go.
I think I want to get freshened up. You gotta feel your best. That's the thing about COVID. A lot of guys like are just lounging around in their house right now. What are you? And you want your wife to just think that, oh, look, I married a pile of crap. No, you need to have that fresh cut. And you go to Franklin Barbershop at 2701 Beaver Avenue in Des Moines. You can go to franklinbarbershop.com. You can book your appointment. You just walk right in. And you don't know. Maybe they're watching The Price is Right. Maybe they're watching like 1985 WrestleMania. Maybe they're...
Lord of the Rings, last time.
Lord of the Rings, the last time Bloom is there. I've seen it when they're playing... they get like the Oregon Trail going on. All kinds of stuff. You never know what you're going to get into when you go to the Franklin Barbershop. Phenomenal people, Iowa State fans, and they love it when Cyclone fanatics go in there and support them, and we love it when you support them as well. Okay. Big 12 championship game. I want to make sure we do some basketball. I do want to hit on National Signing Day as well. Do you have any final thoughts on this game? Keep in mind, folks, that it's only Sunday. We're going to have more hard-hitting analysis on this game. We might even twist Bloom's arm. I mean, if there's ever a time for you to write a column.
Yeah, I just don't know if I have the words, honestly, to...
I kind of gave my words last week.
Well...
Like, I feel like I...
And our buddy Adam Gray has a point, okay?
That you only write when things are really good?
Yeah, and when I write a hype column, it goes poorly.
Oh,
the next day. I mean, it's been, I'm pretty good about, you know, when I write a, you know, get pumped column, the result is not great. So, and I haven't written one. I haven't really written much at all this year, Chris. I've been kind of doing this podcast thing and it's worked. So I might just stay with the superstition.
Have you ever watched the Seinfeld where George always goes out on a high note?
You know, I don't watch a lot of Seinfeld, but I understand the reference.
Now that we've helped people.
Oh, wait. These stupid ads that come on before the YouTube clips. Give me a second. Right?
All these internet companies trying to make money.
And it gets worse. The team working
this is George
on
going out on a high
Lafayette
note.
Square kind of over smoothed it. They ground the head down to about the size of a softball. And that spells trouble.
All right, well, why don't we smooth the head down to nothing, stick a pumpkin under its arm, and change the nameplate to Ichabod Crane.
All right, that's it for me.
George just gets up and leaves the meeting because he told a funny joke. That's Bloom.
I'm not going to ruin it.
I think that you, I don't want to give you a big head. I think you're one of the most immensely talented human beings I've ever been around, and it makes me sick sometimes. Like, Bloom would study for a test for, like, 10 minutes. I'd study for 4 hours. I would get a B. Bloom would get an A. And that's just how it goes. But he's playing you guys. So the reason you all have such high opinions of Bloom... It's because the only time you hear from him is when things are really good. Name the last time you've read a Bloom column when the clones are... What, did Bloom write a column after the game on Friday night? Hell no. No.
Don't give away my secrets on the air like this.
Hold on, I got one more for you here.
All right, that's it for me! Come on, everybody!
Hearing a laugh track is so old
school.
Old.
Yeah, it's very 90s. Now
so maybe that's a maybe. It's a firm maybe.
So you're not.
But I might. Let's see. We'll see. It's a big. I mean,
I'm not going to ask anybody to do predictions.
No,
nothing like that.
I will say. I mean, so just from a game standpoint, I didn't realize I looked it up today. Oklahoma has been dominant this year against the run.
Yeah,
in every game.
Oh yeah.
Like this is not.
Dude, their D-line is sick.
It is really, really good, and it's gotten from when Iowa State saw them, they were very good. Now they're great. They have just shut people down on the run. So I think from a schematic standpoint, Breece Hall is always a factor, but it's coming down to Purdy again. Like, he's got to – he has been so good.
And the other side, obviously.
Yeah, and then the other side. I mean, you got to hold him. I mean, but that's the other thing. Oklahoma's offense – not nearly as potent, in my opinion, as it was, you know, Mayfield, then Murray, then Hurts. Now, Rattler's very talented. I think this game
there
is, you know, could be in the upper 20s, not necessarily in the 30s.
I would encourage our listeners to do your own research and not just listen to the talking heads.
Correct.
Because I swear to God that a lot of the people commentating on Oklahoma have not watched them play.
I agreed.
There's a lot of people. Rattler finally figured it out.
No.
Honestly, he's really about the same guy. The difference is Alex Grinch and that defense, they're a lot smarter. Two things. When we saw him in September, they had a lot of guys out for like disciplinary reasons, stuff like that. They've gotten back to full strength and they've gotten smarter. So that was one of the things that Iowa State, I thought Tom Manning called a beautiful game against Oklahoma that first time around. They had Oklahoma guessing. Right. In spots like that, they're not guessing as much. Now, I do think Iowa State is probably the best offense that they've played.
The second most yards per play allowed by Oklahoma this year.
More Kansas State?
I think it was.
Which is insane. If you think about it.
Complete fluke.
Totally different deal. With that scenario.
Yep.
Here's what excites me. I think this is what I'm going to write a little bit more about this week, Brent, is I like the fact that both of these teams have gotten so much better since that first game. I like the fact, sure, it would be fun to beat the shit out of Oklahoma State or whatever. Hold on 1 second. Now I got this YouTube thing going. Yeah,
you just fired him off. I have a feeling of what you're going to play.
Well, I got to go to my WWF. Yeah. I got to go to my WWF roots here.
Well, I'll kiss your boots if you can do it, but to be the man, you gotta beat the man, and I'm saying, woo, right here, I'm the man.
This is Lincoln Riley.
You're gonna be mine. Woo,
woo, woo. I don't want to limp into this thing. I want to win the damn championship, and I want to stomp on their grave.
And what an opportunity. I mean, for Iowa State hasn't played in this game ever, and now you want to play Oklahoma to do it. Beat them twice. How many in a row has Oklahoma won? Hold on. It's several, but I'm trying to think who's the last non-Oklahoma team to win the Big 12 championship.
Was it?
Let's see.
It would have had to have been Baylor.
No, I don't think they won it.
Robert Griffin never won it?
Yeah, man.
Was it Texas?
Well, it's not Texas.
Hold on. Big 12.
I'm trying to find it here. Point is, Oklahoma's won a bunch in a row.
Was it TCU? Did they ever win one?
I don't know, man.
All right. You go back to 2009, Texas.
2009 is the last time Oklahoma didn't win it? That can't be right.
Well, they didn't have a game there for a while.
Oh, that's true.
You know, they cut the thing out.
They did, and they
It was that Texas game where Nebraska supposedly decided they were going to leave the Big 12.
That's right.
Do you remember that?
Because the clock situation.
Yeah. I'll never forget where I was. But even before that, though, Brent, let's go back to this. Here's your stat. You have to go back to 2004. Or 2003 is the last time that a Texas nor Oklahoma team won the Big 12 championship game.
Wow. And you mean like Texas as in like University of?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That was K-State and Darren Sproles.
2004. Yeah, 2003 was K-State. Do you remember Oklahoma was ranked first?
Yeah.
And in the country.
They put the screws on them.
And then
an arrowhead.
2004 and 2005 were the tough ones for Iowa State because Colorado went both years.
Yep.
And then you go to 06. Do you remember Oklahoma, Nebraska? I remember that in Arrowhead.
Yep.
Slugfest. Missouri was the number one ranked team in the country.
Dominated.
In 2007. Missouri lost to Oklahoma 62-21 in 2008. And then it was that 13-12 Texas-Nebraska game. Yeah, and then they didn't have a game from 2011 to 2017. They brought it back.
So what an opportunity again. Like, there has not been. I mean, gosh, that's a long time. So, I agree. I mean, if you want to win this thing, beat Oklahoma doing it. It's only going to make it sweeter in the end.
I agree. Could not.
But we've got Monday night, we've got the championship preview show with guys a lot smarter than us.
So that's why I was glad you brought that. We are going to, on Twitter, Facebook, Cyclone Fanatics front page, YouTube, the Cyclone Fanatic Championship Week preview show.
Here's one thing I'll
Brett
say.
Brett Meyer, Todd Blythe, Bloom, and myself. That's coming up on Monday night live at 8 o'clock.
Iowa State does not need to play an A game to win. I think that highly of Iowa State. Now,
what do they have to play?
I think, you know, the spread is where we thought it would be. So, at the last I saw was 6, which I think is giving Oklahoma a little bit of inflation for the brand. But I think it's probably appropriate just based on what Oklahoma has done. But I think Iowa State is playing as good a football over the last month as just about anybody. And so I think this is going to be a complete just knockout, drag out, and who's tougher in the end. And this is why I like Iowa State. And you look at 4 quarters, the Texas game's a good example of Iowa State was not, you know, they had every right to just give up at some point, but they kept fighting. I think this goes right down the end again. And I like Iowa State's toughness in 4 quarters because Oklahoma hasn't really been in that 4-quarter type of game since that Iowa State game. So it should be a good one.
I think, too, one thing I want to study more as we lead up to kickoff 11 o'clock on Saturday is the issues that John Haycock and the defense have been able to give much better Oklahoma offenses than this year. Now, yeah. I'm not naive. Like I know that they're going to be good.
Yeah, they got some guys.
Yeah, I know that, and I'm terrified. But the best of the best, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Iowa State has found a way to give that
at least to
give them problems.
Some, a pause.
Yeah. So, anywho, that's something I'd like to keep an eye on. Real quick, current Big 12 championship results in the Big 12 championship games. So you did have some former members win the game. Nebraska won 2 of them.
Yep.
Colorado won 1 of them, and Texas A&M won 1 of them. Other than that, of the current members of the league, Oklahoma has 12 appearances.
Yeah.
Let's go to wins, right? 10 wins. Texas has 3 wins. Kansas State has 1 win. That's it.
Of the current members. Yeah. That's crazy.
So here's my – this is what I'm going to write about.
This is a chance to do
– yeah. This is wild.
And this puts you then
– yeah.
So we always talk about, right, you're competing against, obviously, the big dogs, but everybody else. The Big 12 is a tiered system. Oklahoma and Texas are always going to be at the top of that tier. They're not moving from there. It's really teams 3 through 10 that if Iowa State wants to sustain the success, has to stay, you know, in that right below Oklahoma and Texas tier. Yeah, you're going to beat them like you have this year, but you have to be ahead of TCU, and you have to be ahead of teams like K-State. And this could put Iowa State, you know, give them an edge for not only this year but for years to come. This is a huge opportunity.
Real quick, final sponsorship read we have. GravitateCoworking.com. I want to give you guys a shout out to Gravitate Coworking, GravitateCoworking.com. Really a fascinating. I was talking about Farm Story Meats earlier. This is one that I'd like to have some ownership in as well. I think it's brilliant, especially when you're looking to the future. I talk often about I wouldn't want to be in commercial real estate right now. I just think that a lot of businesses are finding out right now, man, our people can be productive remotely. Not everybody wants to just sit at their house, though. God, yeah, no.
I hear that.
You got to get out. And at GravitateCoworking.com, it's brilliant. Now, Bloom, you've actually been there. Describe the working environment at Gravitate Coworking in Des Moines.
Modern workspace with all the amenities.
So they got your printers. You got your great Wi-Fi.
Collaborative spaces.
They got beer.
Meeting rooms, beer, coffee, great views. And good people. I mean, that's the thing is, like, a lot of times maybe it's not just your industry, but if you want to bounce a couple things, I mean, business is business, right? Like, you're all trying to generate revenue, minimize expenses, and develop relationships. Well, even if it's not your company, other people, like-minded individuals, want to do the same thing.
Bada boom, GravitateCoworking.com. This pandemic is coming to an end.
Vaccines.
We got vaccines. I got a fever.
Pfizer.
And the only prescription is a COVID vaccine. Do I get it? Or is it just like, hey, Williams, you got the antibodies, bro?
I think you're at the back of the line.
Back of the line. All right.
I can't be the only one who every time they see Pfizer, they think of Marcus and not the vaccine.
This is true.
Pfizer stuffs it over MIM.
I'd like to get Pfizer and Jake Sullivan on a podcast sometime. That'd be a lot of fun.
Okay. Buddy.
Real quick, I do want to hit on National Signing Day. I gave our this is another plug for our Patreon members.
Are there guys from the state of Iowa? In that?
There are.
Okay.
And they know what it means to play in Jack Trice Stadium, I can assure you. Brock Purdy hasn't.
He does not.
Breece Hall didn't have a clue. But I'll tell you what, damn it. These guys on Iowa State's recruiting class coming up in football who are
there
from
actually
Iowa.
Are several Iowa guys.
Yeah, there. Real quick, and again, this is why I think that it's very valuable to be a member of our Patreon group and also the premium message board. If you're more of the message board follower and you like those conversations, I give this stuff up early on in this process, and I'll often talk about it later on. Sometimes there's things out there that are fluid that I can't necessarily report to the masses. But this is a good opportunity. Fully expect Iowa State to sign its entire recruiting class coming up on Wednesday. I have information. There's a huge amount of young men who are going to be enrolling early. I have all that information on the premium message board, also at Patreon. I think those are like the $10 levels or wherever to get that.
And what a year to have people enroll early.
Yes, no doubt.
Because it's hard to...
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I actually thought, like, because my thing was like, I bet fewer guys enroll early because everything's just so crazy, but it was the opposite. There's a lot.
And one other thing. The Sports Performance Center is slated to open in February or March, which I can't tell you the difference that's going to make from just a space standpoint. That will really help. It's helped this recruiting class, but I mean, Iowa State's basically tripling the size of its locker room, among other things. Point being, getting those guys to enroll in early, you'll have that one-stop shop to have a spot on campus to not only do the academics, but the nutrition, the weight training, all that stuff's going to be in one place. So getting those guys in early acclimated will help.
No doubt. That's really all. Iowa State did get a commitment over the weekend, another offensive lineman out of the state of Iowa, which was great to see. Really highly touted kid. And then you said they lost the kicker?
The kicker. Kicker decommitted to commit to Colorado.
Why would a kicker want to go to Colorado? The air. You know, it knocks the ball down. Does it go farther?
Yeah.
It goes farther in Colorado?
The numbers get boosted.
So, like, I mean, Mason Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
Katie
Nida, the kicker.
Remember her?
Oh, remember? She was the Vanderbilt kicker before the Vanderbilt kicker. But why, she never did anything.
But why does everybody say, why doesn't anybody ever talk about her?
I don't know. Katie Nida is getting kind of disrespected in the whole... Fuller conversation for Vandy. Katie Nida never did kick. I don't think she actually kicked in the game, though.
Oh, she never actually kicked.
Gary Barnett, he had the great quote. It was actually an awful quote.
But it was great in the sense that it's lived in infamy.
Oh, yeah, and I still remember to this day.
I can't find it. It's not on YouTube.
Well, I remember it verbatim.
When he says, Katie wasn't just a girl, Katie was terrible.
Yes, exactly.
That was the quote, right? The
quote. Not only was she a girl, she was terrible.
Yeah.
Which is a horrible thing to say, Gary. Just a horrible thing to say.
God, I remember it one. I was so stupid.
Was it K-N-I-D-A? I think Katie Nida?
Yeah. Anyways, okay, it makes sense for this kid to go. Why in the hell would you go?
Well,
nobody watches, but nobody
California.
Watches the Pac-12.
He's from California. I don't know.
Pac-12 football.
Point
come
is,
on,
Iowa
it's
State needs,
garbage.
Iowa State either. So Connor Sally is a senior.
We gotta get We gotta get
can
the ass
get,
man back.
The ass man can come back for one more year.
Yes. Well, he's not going pro. This is it for the ass man. Like
he could come back. He could.
And this is where, like, I. Like with the kickoff thing, I'd love to like talk to Matt about this and be like, can't you like you're really telling me that on there's 30,000 kids at Iowa State that you don't there's not yeah. one dude who can kick it out of the end zone on that campus who would love to play for the Cyclones.
The Nettles kid's been better.
Yeah, but he ain't kicking it out of the end zone.
He's not quite out of the
shout out to Lewis Central. You know, I'm a Hawkeye.
Oh, is he Lewis?
Yeah, Bond Central. Coached him. Bond's a special teams coordinator. Like, you know, I'm not trying to crap all over my friend's kicker
not.
Here.
Of course not.
But, like, there's not one guy on that campus who can't kick it out of the end zone.
I don't know. Iowa State needs a kicker, though. So here's the thing. Somebody, I think it was our buddy Ted Flint. Maybe it's Ted Flint. If there's a controversial poll question, it's probably coming from Ted Flint.
Or the Murph and Andy Twitter.
Or the Murph
and
Andy. My gosh.
Those guys,
we have nothing to talk about.
Those guys just stir
Let's
the pot.
Stir the pot.
Well, I mean, who would win between Iowa's,
Yeah, okay. Gotta, hey, look at me. I'm over here. I'm Iowa.
I love
no Sally. Shit. 39-yard
Sorry,
field.
I'm swearing a lot more, but I know Mac Dine doesn't care, and like whatever. We're having a good time. We're just having some
down,
Cody Rhodes.
Down one, 39-yard field goal to win the Big 12 championship. How comfortable are you with the ass man?
What? How long?
39 yards.
I'm comfortable.
Comfortable.
I'm more comfortable with the ass man in that spot than I am like a random PAT.
Interesting.
He's proven to be very good in clutch good situations.
Inside of 40 yards.
Yeah.
Okay.
50? I don't like it.
No. I'm not. We're not kicking at 50. I don't.
But
I
you,
don't,
you know what I'm saying, though? Assman seems to miss random.
Just extra points.
And then you just lose your mind, but then he will redeem himself.
He has had a good career.
He's had a very nice career, and he's made a lot of clutch kicks.
Yes.
So, yeah, I like
said,
it.
I don't want it coming down to a field goal.
No.
On Saturday.
Especially, I had really bad omens today with the Vikings game.
Oh, man.
Because they outplayed them for most of the game.
Yeah.
But when you miss three field goals and a PAT in the NFL, like, it just changes everything. You can't do that against Tom Brady. And I did have bad omens. Like, it's like, I've really been trying, Brent, to not be as negative. I was having a conversation with a really good friend today, and this friend was like, man, like, you really are, because she was watching the Vikings game.
Yeah.
She's like, you're really a tortured soul, with sports. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I am, and this is why I expect everything to be bad. It's the same thing. You know, my wife's a veterinarian, right? If a dog has been abused its entire life, when it comes into the clinic, it's scared to death of people. I'm scared to death of my sports teams in big spots because I've been kicked so many times.
We don't need to hear that negativity right now.
Why? Well, you brought it up.
You're taking it.
You literally just asked me. You literally just asked me this, and then I started thinking of Dan Bailey.
Taking a turn to negative.
I had a friend text me after the Dan Bailey thing. Jonathan, great furniture guy, by the way. Makes great wooden. He made my bar and really good stuff. He's like, hey,
mean to bring it up.
He goes, hey, it's Blair Walsh, Dan Bailey, or Gary Anderson. Who do you got? It's like, you know what? Screw you, Jonathan.
I'm sorry for bringing it up. It's not involved.
So now you're putting this mojo on me on Big 12 championship.
We're not involving field goals on Saturday. What is that over under real quick? I haven't seen it yet.
I don't know. Is it still 4.5?
It's up to 6. Last I saw.
Good.
Right?
Let that thing get over a touchdown and pound the Cyclones.
I mean, Oklahoma's got a little they're properly rated, but they're also a little overrated, if that could be a thing. From the general fan.
Yeah, well, because again, they're not watching the games. 50, they think that this is the Baker Mayfield.
Actually, that's a good, I thought this would be higher. Interesting. 58.5 is all, which is low by Big 12 standards.
Yeah, I think I might play the, well, I mean, the first time.
First time ended up 69 or 68.
I say, if you're going to drop 69, that you better be confident.
It's 38-31, right, team? I think I'm right.
I think you're right.
37-30, sorry. 37.
Man, if it's at 58, wouldn't you play the over?
I don't know. I mean, man, the defenses have both been dominant lately.
What about like the importance? Like, Iowa State doesn't win that game without Kenny Nwangu.
Oh, for sure.
You know, like just plays like that and not screwing it up on the other
end. I got to go back and rewatch that one because that was a hell of a game. But a lot had to go right for Iowa State.
Yeah. It wasn't like this convincing.
No.
But Iowa State's a lot better than they were then.
I think Iowa State.
So is Oklahoma.
Again, Iowa State is playing lights out football right now.
I would agree. All right. Should we talk about basketball real quick before we.
I think we need to.
Yeah.
Let's have a powwow.
I'll put it like this. This is where I'm at with the team right now. I did a pretty lengthy instant reaction pod where I gave a lot of thoughts, especially on the Sullivan stuff. So you guys go back and listen to that. It wasn't like just, oh, we stink after Iowa. I gave a lot of thoughts on the team. But, you know, here's where I am. That everybody's dealing with the COVID stuff. This isn't just an Iowa State thing. So, like, you can't really use that, and nor will I. I will say this. We knew, if you've listened to Bloom and me on this pod, we thought this team would struggle early in the season. I picked them ninth in the Big 12, so clearly my expectations were pretty low. How do I feel in like February?
Yeah.
Like, do I feel like this thing's going like.
Just as a program.
Yes.
Yeah.
At the end of last year, didn't feel great because I'm looking at Tyrese leaving. I'm looking at what's coming back, and I didn't know what would happen on the recruiting trail, and I was a little bit terrified. I feel like this year could be different because I do like these freshmen. We need to give them time. I think the Johnson kid is really showing some flash. We need to give him a little time. And with this kid that they have coming in next year, the top 50 kid, yeah, I think you need to open your eyes a little bit. To me, yeah, that sucked. I actually, for 30 minutes, they vastly exceeded my expectations in that game. Now, Luka Garza came back and played out of his mind. This team doesn't want to play defense. They're going to have to. I think you have to open your eyes and realize that George Condon is regressing. There's stuff like that that you have to pay attention to. But for me, Brent, talk to me.
Yeah, it's so hard to judge now.
February, and then I'm going to have a much clearer opinion. Where are you at?
No, I'm somewhere. I'm in that same ballpark. The concern for me is, you know, this is now a theme, and maybe it's just the way it has to be. Is, you know, Iowa State just has not been great outside of the 1 year when Monte was a senior, and it stretches with that THT Shayok team where they just haven't defended or rebounded very well. And again, you're looking at just really porous numbers on that end. And, you know, they haven't had a lot of time to practice or play together, but they got to be better on that end. Like and I think for me, that comes down to, you know, you need athletes to play defense. Sure, that helps. But it comes down to an attitude and an effort situation and, you know, not just having that ability to close out possessions by guarding and rebounding. It just is frustrating, and I think it's correctable, but yet we haven't seen it really corrected. And so that's what I want to see. I mean, I've seen it from, I think Coleman Lands, you know, plays really hard. I think Javen Johnson plays hard. Tyler Harris plays hard. He's just had limitations, obviously. But they got to get Condit or Young to just want it somehow. Is that coaching? Is that the player? Is it an attitude thing? I don't know. I don't know what comes down to, but they need those guys to just have like a little kick ass to them.
I was going to use the mother with the F word.
Yeah, I mean, they just
that's
don't.
That's what they need to be.
And, you know, those young guys, they can't, you can't expect them to do it yet, but they need Young or Condit to just give them a little something. Maybe even Rajir Bolton, give them a little more on that toughness standpoint. And there's just little things here and there, which is like, man, it seems like the Groundhog Day. We're doing the same thing over and over again. I think the pieces are better this year. I think the guys are talented. This week's big, though, because you play a K-State team at home that's not very good. You got to win that game.
If you lose that game, then
it gets tough. It gets tough in a hurry because West Virginia is dominant, and I mean, I'm not expectations.
No, if you lose, swear to God, if you lose to Kansas State, you're an underdog in every game the rest of the year in the Big 12.
Maybe it's TCU at home, but yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Maybe a three-point favorite.
Yeah, I would say I don't think
they'd lose every game. I don't want you guys to think, but like, you see what I mean?
And it's not a standpoint where like, oh, you know, Prohm has lost this team or anything. It's nothing like that. They just haven't had time to play. They need to play.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so I want to give it that. And if like in February, we all have no hope for next year, then we got a problem.
Because I like Dubar. I think he's got a chance. I think Walker is giving you something. Foster had a four or five-minute stretch where he was really good. He still has no idea what he's doing on defense, which is expected as a freshman.
I would even say on offense, he's kind of just running around.
A little bit, yeah. But you don't, again.
God, he looks good.
He's got that ability.
Huge.
And he's so I think, listen, they've got pieces. They just got to put them together, and they got to have time to do it. Unfortunately, there's no time this year. There is zero time. And it's frustrating because there's going to be moments where like these guys just aren't very good, but it's a time thing. But I agree with you. If we're in February, we're having the same conversation where it's the same Groundhog Day over and over. At that point, you got to be a little bit more heavy-handed. But I think for now, let's just see where it goes.
It just comes like with personal expectations. Where were you at going into the year? Mine were very low. I don't know about yours. You're in a hard spot because you do a lot of games on TV,
yeah,
so I won't put you there.
No, but like, I know.
But like mine were like I honestly thought like best case for this team, maybe you could climb up to sixth.
Yeah, but again,
it'd be like potentially on the bubble.
I think the one area, it doesn't seem like an offensive problem, which is good.
Yeah, these guys can hit shots. We saw that even in that stretch the other night. The problem was Luka Garza barely played. Iowa hit three threes in the first half, and you were down 11.
Right. So you got to take care of the ball. Again, preventable things. Take care of the ball when you can. And then rebound and just be a little tougher. Now, where does the toughness thing come from? Like, is it the player? Is it inherent in the player? Or is it with the coaches?
I'll say this. I would have liked Steve after that game to come out and just be like, this is unacceptable. We need to, it's not him, I know, but like, just set the tone.
But the problem is these guys are so young, they haven't played yet. You don't want to kill them. You can't ruin the confidence right now.
And what do we know? They are, like, they could be working their ass off in practice and we have no clue. Like,
and by the way, Iowa is a top five offense in the country.
Yeah, and their efficiency's off the charts.
They dismantled Iowa State.
I think at this day, right now, I think they're the best team in the country.
Yeah, I mean, maybe on offense. I think
if you put like, let's do it. Let's play the Sweet 16 right now.
I'm still not buying it because I don't think they guard at all, and I would expose them for a stretch. And Iowa State's not even near Gonzaga yet.
They all got Rona.
Right. But Iowa is elite. Iowa is elite on offense.
I don't want Fran McCaffrey to win a national championship.
I think they are elite on offense. I think they have a long, long ways to go on defense. And when you don't play both sides of the floor, we saw it with Fred.
Yeah.
Like eventually you run up against it where you're not making all those shots, and then what?
You're right. And you're gonna have the Texas Tech games and the UAB games and
the road is not just golden for Iowa at this point. However,
They've got
guys,
but that Big Ten's loaded.
Oh, they're gonna lose a bunch of games.
Yeah,
yeah. They will, and they'll probably lose. Honestly, I think they'll lose to Gonzaga on Saturday,
even after the Rona stuff.
Yeah. So we'll see. I think Gonzaga is the best team in the country. So more from that aspect than anything.
I respect you. Watch more basketball than I do. I have greatly transformed into a football guy.
Yeah.
10 years ago, I was not. I was a basketball guy. I watch three times the amount of football now, like tape and stuff, that I do basketball. But do you really think like you've watched enough basketball to be that matter of fact on who's the best team in the country? Because I just feel like I can't get a read on anything. I'm not challenging you. I'm just saying like I've tried. And I don't have a clue because the season's so rigid.
From what I've seen previous years and then the couple of times I've seen them, Gonzaga has little to no weakness.
Okay.
They play both
ends. I love
Few. Few's great. They got big guys.
Somebody needs to do
Suggs is a top five pick. Like, they've got guys.
Somebody needs to do a really in-depth book or documentary on that program, because you remember when they used to be like a 12 seed, we were like, oh, they upset Creighton.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I remember they beat Creighton, and it was a huge deal to us in Western Iowa because we were all Creighton and Dana Altman fans.
Look it up. As the Pac-12 basketball has gone downhill, Gonzaga's benefited. They're getting all the best players on the West Coast now.
Boy, you want to talk about a conference that's just struggling.
Big time. But Gonzaga is now the option. Like, if you're in that area, you don't go to USC or UCLA anymore. You're going to Gonzaga, and that's the difference.
Or Arizona, even. Like, Arizona's they were
in trouble. They've got, and again, they get players occasionally.
But think about when we were kids, they were winning national titles with Flute, and like, they're not now.
But that's the beauty of when all of the difference in TV contracts now, Gonzaga's games are all on national TV. You don't need to go to, you know, a Pac-12 school to get noticed. In fact, you're probably better off going to Gonzaga from a TV standpoint because of the Pac-12 network. You have all your games on when you're Gonzaga are on national TV.
I followed, obviously, TJ's career. It's easier for me to watch him at UNLV than it was at Washington.
Yeah, because nobody gets the
Because they're all on CBS Sports Network.
And plus, Gonzaga's just got a lot of advantages where Few is a good dude, people like him.
And he's committed to there.
And they've developed pros.
That's my prayer. Like, I do think that Campbell can turn Iowa State into a little bit of that.
That's what you got to hope for sure.
Honestly, because Travis Hines is brilliant. Yeah, everybody knows how much respect I have for him. I don't know if he ever pinned the column, but he has been floating this idea to me for years. I think he did write the column. About how Iowa State football should treat its job like Gonzaga does in basketball, or like a really high level mid-major in basketball, where and then you get that guy to catch, right? It was a really good point. Like,
I mean, the difficulty there is you can't coast in your conference like Gonzaga can. I mean, for half their games, they don't have to play hard.
But his point, not necessarily Gonzaga. His point was like, okay, if they come and poach your coach, great. Like, set the buyouts high, and then you're just cashing all these checks, and then you can keep building on it. It was really good. He wrote it. It was like 5 years ago. It was when Rhodes was really. It was longer than that. Then, like,
head coach Paul Rhodes right now.
Yeah, not for long. Paul keeps. He was the interim at the Arkansas after they got fired there.
Yeah.
I mean, his defense gave up 70 to what's up with Herm just piling on? Was he trying to get Kevin Sumlin fired?
He gave a nice embrace after the game.
Jesus.
Hey, man. Sorry.
I wasn't watching that because I was watching our own bloodbath in Iowa City.
Yeah. Which was that the weirdest thing where Iowa State loses by 30 and yet you're like,
yeah. I actually had a really
it's a moment.
Smart. Basketball friend of mine, he was like, I'm actually encouraged from that game.
There was a stretch there where you're like, okay, I can see it. Again, though.
God, Garza, though, like, the shot he hit over Solo at the top of the key at the start of the game, I was like, oh, we are totally screwed.
He just, listen, man, hey, great college player.
You don't want him playing for the Magic?
Maybe as a Steph Curry, I don't know. Like, is he a big that just steps out and shoots threes? He just lumbers down the floor like he's a, you know, an evil villain. But, I mean, he gets it
I
done.
I
won't
say.
Hey,
I was,
he gets it done.
I was in
Kudos to him.
I was in a text conversation with Myron Blythe on Friday night. I won't say how Meyer described
it. I don't know. He not the smoothest guy, but he is so effective, and kudos to him.
All right, final deal here. Tomorrow night, or it would be Monday night. 8 o'clock, Twitter. Facebook, YouTube, front page of Cyclone Fanatic. We'll have our kit. We're calling it a Big 12 Championship Week kickoff show. And
that's right.
Meyer, Blythe, Plume, and myself, Granite Construction, Wild Rose Casino in Jefferson, Fairway, are in the Iowa Clinic, sponsoring all of our Big 12 and bowl coverage over the next couple of weeks. We look forward to that, and we thank them for their sponsorship. Stansberry and I are leaving for Dallas on a land jet. I think they have like 3 left. So if you're looking for last-minute plans and you just want to ride down there and watch games and drink all day, You can do it on a Landjet. Landjet.com.
Right, that Rutgers-Nebraska game.
Yeah, you can watch. You could watch Championship Week in the Big Ten.
On the way down.
At 3 o'clock on a Friday on Big Ten Network with Rutgers and Nebraska. We're going to have so much stuff this week. So what I would encourage you all to do is to really check your social media. Like, we're going to keep. I can't wait. This is exactly what we got into this business for. Not even just the championship football, to analyze basketball, even when it's down. This is what we do. Yep. Iowa State fans care all the time. This is what we're here for. I'm fired up. Let's go.
And just enjoy it. Like this, yes. This hasn't happened before. I hope it happens again. But let's revel in our chance. This is it. This is why you're an Iowa State fan. I think we can do it.
Let's get after it. He's Brent Bloom. My name's Chris Williams. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. We love you. Have an awesome championship week.